So let's start. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elav Le'emor. So now, Elio is... he's still sitting, still living amongst the people. And now Hashem is sending him a message. It's time for you to leave. It's time for you to go ahead and leave the people. We'll see in a minute why he has to leave. So what does Hashem tell him? Lech mizeh ufanisa lecha kedma v'nistarat barach l'karis asher al pnei hayardin. Hashem is telling him, you gotta leave. You gotta go to a different place. And the Malbim points out that it's one of two reasons. First reason is because it's dangerous, literally. The people will know that Eliyahu was the one who cast this curse, so to speak, on them. And they're going to be upset at him. They're going to try to take revenge. They're going to try to hurt him, kill him, who knows what. So Hashem is telling him, for your own safety, it's better that you leave. That's one reason. The second reason the Malbim gives over here is more involved. He says, since Eliyahu was the one who brought upon this klala, this curse, that the people will not have any more water, and he was the one who, so to speak, blocked the tzinoiris, the pipes of shefa, of plenty, to come forth. He stopped the tzinoiris, the pipes, the vessels, the pathways for
the water. I mean, yeah. he stopped nature.
Right, right. But now the problem is that Eliyahu himself still deserves the bracha. Right, he deserves rain for himself. So if the rain will come for him, it'll be forced to come. It'll come for the rest of the people too, right? You can't have like one little area of rain only on Eliyahu. It's going to come for the whole people, right? So, and it's going to spread to the rest of the people. So therefore, Hashem is telling him, in order for the klal that you cast to continue, I need you now to leave, and then you will separately will get sustenance, you will get food, but the rest of the people will still not get any rain.
Why other people can leave?
What do you mean?
Other people also is able to leave somewhere or not?
They can leave, but the reason why Eliyahu needs to leave is because if he stays, then the rain will come for him. And if it comes for him, it'll come for the other people as well. Even though they don't deserve it.
No, but he leave to have rain. It's not to be rain in this area.
You know, it's the same as like you have one tzaddik in a place, he can save the whole place from being destroyed. Like when Avram was with God, he said, what if there was five, one for each one? If he would be there, then the rest of wouldn't just come to him what other people can see.
Right.
Right. So
right.
That's
exactly.
Right.
It means he wants to save his life.
Yeah.
To leave.
Well, that's one reason, the danger. The second reason is because he has to leave, so the rain won't come for him.
For him.
For Leo, yeah. If the rain comes for him, then the rest of the people are going to get rain too. So Hashem is telling him, go somewhere else. That way, you're going to get sustenance somewhere else, separately. The people will still not have any rain. Make sense?
It means he makes rain only for him.
Yeah. If you go somewhere else, it'll be only for him. Without the other people enjoying it, benefiting from it.
Was it rain or just it was coming from the brook?
Oh, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. So first, it happens in a few stages. So where does he tell him to go? He tells him, Lech Kedma. Right? Where's Kedma? What direction is Kedma?
I presume it's...
East, west.
Yeah.
East.
I presume it's Banyas. That's where the... That's where the
water. Baras the Yama, the Kedma, the point of a Negba. Right? What does it say in the Pasuk?
Right.
Yama is which way? When you look at Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the map. Yama, the ocean, is which way?
Yamin, to the right. To Jordan.
No. The ocean.
The ocean, all right.
The ocean. Where's the ocean? It's on the left.
In the west, all
right. Right. On the west, yeah? So Kedma is the east.
Yeah,
so he's telling him Kedma, right, and go to Nachal Karis, Asher al Panei HaYarden. This Nachal, this
brook,
which is called Karis, which is on the Yarden. Right? So he's telling him, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. Stay in Eretz Yisrael, but go to the border of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Malbim points out something very interesting. He says that there's a difference between other times where Hashem practiced Hester Panim, he didn't have a Shgacha over Bnei Yisrael, and this time that he did not have a Shgacha was different than every other time. Because every other time that Hashem left the Jewish people, then what would happen? He would leave the Jewish people, and then the Jewish people would be given over to nature. Whatever nature was, that's what took place. Right? And because naturally the Jewish people are not, they're just strategically in a bad place, right? Anytime any Jewish nation that goes into exile doesn't have their own land, right? They're lost, right? The fact that the Jewish people still exist after close to 2,000 years in exile is a huge miracle, right? But Pascal, who was one of the biggest philosophers, once told the king asked him, "How do we know that God exists? How do I know that God exists? Because the Jews are still around, right? And that's how we know that God exists, right?
How did it last so long?
Exactly. The fact that the Jewish people are still around is a huge miracle. Naturally speaking, we don't stand a chance, right?
It's sort of something. A lot of nations disappeared.
Right. The Jewish people naturally are not in a good strategic place. They're not a powerful nation. They're not in their own land. They don't have their own place to live. So that's why any time nature took its course, the Jewish people were in bad shape. That's what happened other times when Hashem left the Jewish people.
That's because they were sinning.
Right, because they were sinning. Right. However, this time, it was different. Because this time, Hashem did not only leave the Jewish people. If Hashem would just leave the Jewish people and leave us in the hands of nature, then naturally what would happen? It would rain. Because according to nature, according to the laws of nature, it was supposed to rain.
At that time.
Right. We spoke about this. So Hashem went that extra mile. Not only did he leave them, in the hands of nature, but he dictated that even nature itself should not take its course, and even nature itself should not let the rain fall. Right? So Hashem is not enough to just have the regular Hester Panim, the regular blocking of Ashgacha, right? Because if that was the case, then naturally it would rain, right? Hashem had to have a specific Ashgacha for nature not to take its course, yeah? And now, since Elio was the middleman, so to speak, he was the man to make this happen, to have this plan take action. So therefore, Hashem told him, "I want you to stay on the border, right? Because Eliyahu staying living on the border was symbolic in him being the one in charge over." What's supposed to happen? Meaning, because he's on the border, that was a symbol of he's like on the, you know, he's sitting there on the border, just like he's sitting on the pipes of the rain, so to speak, that are supposed to come forth, and he's literally stopping them, right? So Malbim goes into a little bit how rain is created. How is rain created? Rain is created through the water evaporating from the ocean or from the ground, going up into the sky, forming clouds. Okay. And then the clouds bring down the water. Hmm. So now Eliyahu sitting on the border is, again, a symbol of him, so to speak, controlling the land, right? Making sure that the water, the vapor, does not go up from the earth. Right, he's, so to speak, blocking it. Again, symbolically, he's not like sitting there like with his hands blocking.
He's blocking it from coming down.
No, so he's blocking the vapor from coming up the earth.
Both.
Right, going in. Right.
Well, he's starting at the beginning.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's starting from the beginning. He's starting from blocking the vapor from going up. right? And therefore, there's no vapor going up, but there's no clouds, no rain, right? So that's what's happening over there. That's why he's sitting on the border. Again, that's symbolic. That's a symbol. Not only that, but he told him to go to which side? To the east side of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why? Because the east is where the sun goes up. Yeah, that's where the sun goes up. And the sun is the one that also plays a role in the rain falling, in nature taking its course. And again, Eliyahu is the one who, so to speak, blocking nature. So therefore, he's supposed to sit on the border and on the east side where the sun goes up.
Well, it seems that anything that's going to happen that day starts with the sun.
Right. Right, exactly.
If he stops the first thing, the second and third thing can't come out.
Yeah.
There's nothing to follow it.
Right.
You didn't want to put him in the west once the sun's up, and then he's going to stop it. That's too much.
Right.
Okay.
We can locate this location in a map?
I don't know exactly where on the border.
But there is this two different things, right? Mentioned. Kevin.
But if you look at, I'm saying, you look at a map of Israel, yeah?
It still exists. Spring Carrot.
Oh, the name of this
brook.
This brook? Crease?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a good question.
Oh, this is a city. This is a river. Jordan.
Well, it's on the Jordan. The Jordan goes all across the river.
But
I'm seeing all across the border. I don't know which brook in particular he's referring to. Over here.
Somewhere in the border.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's Pasuk Gimel. Let's continue. Pasuk Dalet. V'haya, what's the Shem telling him now? Okay, so go to the border, sit on the border, and
it says hide in the brook of Sharit.
Yeah. I want you to hide there. Yeah, and where is he going to get his food from? So Pasuk Dalet can...
This is the ravens.
Yes, right, exactly.
I mean, he says the ravens brought him the bread and brought him the meat. How did the ravens shuck the meat? But he brought him the animal, or he brought him a piece of meat?
That's a good question.
I was just wondering how can a raven bring you a big animal? It's bigger than them.
Why? Because maybe this is special birds who can steal.
They brought in bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And from the brook, did he drink? All right, he drinks from the brook, the water's there.
Yeah.
Here come the ravens. And that's the name of one of the teams.
One of the what?
One of the hockey or basketball teams.
Oh, called the ravens?
Next time I see him, I'll see if they're carrying a meat with them.
I don't think so.
Hashem told him, he said, I'll send the ravens to bring you food.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, whatever it is, they brought it for him to him.
They steal.
What?
Question, why does he even ravens? He can make an anything.
I'm not the Hashem to give the answers. I'm just telling you what it says.
He's telling him the ravens are going to do this.
All right.
He needs the food. He says you'll drink from the brook. Of course, he's there. He's at the water. He's going to drink from. Hashem can make anything.
All right.
They can find making him make food. That's hidden. He could find it. I mean, what's it got to do with the ravens?
Why ravens?
Why did he do it this way with the ravens?
Yeah, so good question. We'll get there.
Okay.
So the Radak, just to answer your question, if it was kosher, the Radak points out that he asks, like, where are they bringing kosher meat from? So Radak says that since they were doing it, it was obviously through Hashem, right? Hashem had the ravens bring him food.
Right.
So obviously, if Hashem made the ravens bring him food, obviously it was kosher, right? It was from a kosher place. There's ways for them to bring it. I don't know if they would, break into the butchery and grab the meat from the freezer. I don't know exactly how it would happen. But if Hashem made it happen, then obviously...
No, maybe this is maybe metaphor, maybe it's not raven, but kind of angel, who knows?
This place where he was at Brook, was there all the ravens over there, or the ravens came from someplace else?
No, they came from someplace else, it sounds like.
All right.
Yeah. So it brings actually that the Chazal point out that they were actually bringing him meat from the table of Achav, the king.
Oh, okay.
Right, there are other explanations that say that they brought him from the table of Yehoshaphat, who was another righteous person.
Achav is not righteous.
What?
Achav is not righteous.
Right, Achav is not righteous, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Another third explanation is that he brings that Arvim is not literally ravens, rather, it's referring to merchants. Merchants.
Merchants, oh.
Yes, merchants. Oh.
Merchants.
They would come along, they would bring him food. And they must have been in on the secret, and they didn't tell anybody where he was, and they kept it a secret. Okay, we have three possible explanations. In any case, so he's got water from the brook, right? This Arvim Tzivisi L'Chakel Chasham. I told the ravens to go ahead and support you over there, right? So the Malbim over here has a lot to say. He says that... He says that... The shefa, the plenty, the bracha from Hashem will come down on a person according to the person himself, according to where he's holding in life, according to where he's holding as a person. Right? Now, since Eliyahu was the one who cast this curse, this klala, to stop the bracha from coming down, stop the rain from coming down, therefore, it could not come down on him either. Right? Therefore, Hashem could not give him bracha in his bread. Right? He cannot make sure that he will, that his bread will have a lot of bracha in it. Like we found later on, he went to the
No, here he says, since God had informed Elijah that the ravens would bring him food, it was unnecessary for him to investigate the kosher of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, even if it was not kosher, it could be permissible for a limited time through prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what anybody had. Any. Furthermore, there were many faithful Jews who did not practice idolatry, from whom the ravens could have brought the meat from.
Right.
So there's no big where they would get it.
Right. Doesn't sound like such a big deal. In any case, so later on we find that the almana, the widow, she supported him and she had bracha in her bread, but Eliyahu could not have bracha in his bread because he was the one who brought the klala about. He was the one who stopped all the bracha, all the rain from coming down. So therefore, to make sure that he will have rain specifically for him, a bracha on his own food was impossible. That's why he had to go to a brook that already had water beforehand, right? He couldn't bring about a new bracha, a new shefa, a new plenty, because...
Just do it. If it stops here, it's supposed to stop everywhere. So you just can't help it for him alone.
Right.
So there was some there. And then, of course, after a while, he drank it up.
Right. Exactly. Just like the rest of the people are also being supported from water that was already there.
Yeah.
Right?
New water didn't come.
Right. New water didn't come. It had to be water that was already there. That's why he had to be supported from this water that was already there. And so too, he brought his parnasa, he brought his food through the ravens. The ravens are naturally very cruel birds. They're very cruel. Yeah, that's at the, in Chazal will refer a very specific character trait to each animal. Every animal has its character trait. Right? The Chazal say that if a person is lazy, then go look at the ant. Right? Lech al hanamala atzel. Right? If you're lazy, go look at the ant. The ant works all day. Never rest. Never sit down, oh, I'm too tired, I need to take, you know, an hour lunch break. No. The ant will work from the beginning of its life to the end of its life. It lives about 3 days, and it will just keep on working. It's unbelievable to see what ants can accomplish. For their size, it's unbelievable. Now, what is that going to do? So you go look at the ant and say, oh, wow, okay, the ant can do it, so I'm supposed to do that too? Good for the ant. Well, what do you want from me? Right?
Well, so, see, here he brings why he used ravens, because since the cruel ravens would suddenly become merciful and take pity on Elijah, he should learn a lesson from them and take pity on Israel.
Yeah, so that's what the Matzidus David says. The Matzidus David says, he says a different pshat. He says, pshat is that because the ravens are, they're naturally cruel, and still they went out and supported him, he should take a lesson from them that even though they're cruel and they still supported him, he should also be nice to the
even
Jewish
because
people.
They deserve, well, word, but you still learn to be merciful.
Right. However, the Malbim has a different twist on it. The Malbim says that the ravens are naturally cruel, and Hashem is sending him a message, supporting him by ravens, telling Elio, that just like you were cruel towards the Jewish people, so too, I'm going to bring the ravens who are naturally cruel, and they're going to be the ones to support you, to you, and that'll be used, that'll serve as a constant reminder to you that you were cruel to the Jewish people. Just like you were cruel to them, now you'll see how the ravens who are cruel are going to bring you food. Right? And it's just a reminder that anything a person does, even though he's doing it for the right reasons, it still affects him. Right? We find this example by Ir HaNidachas. If you have a city, who the whole city worships idols, what's the halacha? The halacha is you have to kill out the city. Everybody. Men, women, children, kill them out. Kill everybody. Animals, yes. Kill them out, burn the city. What does the Torah say right after that? After you kill the city, killing out a whole city is a pretty cruel and ruthless act.
Gruesome.
Right? Pretty gruesome. But what does the pasuk say? V'nasen l'chol rachamim v'richamcha. Hashem will then put mercy in your hearts. Meaning, even though you just did an act that was cruel, which will naturally affect you and make you into a cruel human being, Hashem will control your nature because you were doing the right thing. Hashem will control your nature to make sure that you do not become cruel and you will become merciful.
We had this discussion way back before when I told him, how come Hashem says, go kill these people? If you start killing, it's going to become like nothing to them. It might damage you. And that's what you said. Hashem, when he tells you to do that, you do that. But also, he's going to make you not be affected by it, because
right,
you're not doing it but for yourself.
Right.
You're doing it because Hashem said, it's the same thing over here.
Yeah.
If you're a soldier and you go around killing everybody, life means nothing to you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, whatever you do, influences
you. That's the question. We said the same thing there. The Hashem would make sure that your what you think of yourself, your heart is not going to change to become unmerciful.
Right.
Because it actually isn't you that are killing these other people. It's God is getting rid of them because of sins.
Right. Right. But whatever you do affects you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But what is it, ideas, these birds, kind of cruel.
Yeah.
But how we can make this is characteristic human being kind, cruel, apply for the animal? Animal doesn't make sense to say about this animal is very kind, this animal is very cruel. This animal is any, this made this way. They cannot change anything.
Well, you're right. Every animal has a different character trait. Like but we pointed out, the ant. The ant is a very...
No, I know that probably lion is not the same as fly. But they have a different...
nature.
Yeah, this is a different animal. For some reason, they made this way. We cannot say lion is cruel, a cat is not. This characteristic of human beings. They have own will, they can change something, but an animal is animal.
Well, it says that the human being himself was compiled from all the character traits that were taken from all the animals in the animal kingdom.
Well, this idea, I agree. Usually people who watch the animal sometimes find something characteristic from another world. In human beings.
Right, because we are compiled from all the other animals. Hashem took the midas, the character traits, from all the animals, and put them, those very character traits, in the human being. That's why Chazal say, Lech el animala otzel. If you're lazy, go look at the ant. What do you want from me? The ant is very, okay, very nice, so the ant can work hard. What do you want from me? I'm lazy. No. If Hashem made you and He took the character trait from the ant and put it in you, in the human being. So if the ant has the alacrity, then you too, should also have the alacrity that an ant has. Because we're compiled from those same very character traits that the animals have. Look in Shulchan Aruch, it says, "It's gaber ka'ari." When you wake up in the morning, wake up like a lion. Right? Make up like a lion, right? Don't sit there in bed. You know, it's funny because it's ironic because a lion.
That's me. Probably, I'm a real lion. I can't get up.
A lion is probably one of the most. If you look at the lion, he's probably one of the most laziest animals on earth. You know that an animal sleeps 23 hours a day?
Time he goes to fight
23 hours a day he sleeps, the guy. Right? You call him the king of the animals? So what does it mean? Wake up like a lion. Up. What?
Watch out when he gets up.
Exactly. So what the Shulchan Aruch means is gaber ka'ari, wake up like a lion. You know why? Because when a lion, you're right, he sleeps 23 hours a day. But if there's something to do, if he's got to protect the herd, the pride, he's got to protect the pride. If it's time to hunt, if he's hungry, if there's someone who's trying to do something to the pride, he will get up on a dime, in a second. He's up and running. As if he's been ready all his whole life. Right? He's ready to go. He's ready to charge, do whatever it takes. That's a lion. Right? So when we have to get up in the morning, we've got stuff to do. Right? We've got a place to go, people to meet. There's so much to do in life. You can't just sit there as if there's nothing else to do. Exactly. So that's what it means. It's gaber ka'ari. So we find many times references in the words of Chazal to different animals. And this is because Hashem took these character traits from these animals and put them in the human being. So, Hashem took the character trait of the raven, who is naturally cruel, and put that in the human being too. And a person, it's up to us. We can tap into whichever character trait we want. It's all there. It's all inside of us. We can tap into the cruel part of us, the cruel side of us, or they can tap into the more merciful part of the side of us. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. That's a whole different talk show for a different...
Well, he brings out a few different opinions on the Gemara. And then he brings down the merchants. He said in another place, the ravens brought meat from Jehoshaphat's kitchens. They refused to enter Ahab's household, which was adorned with idols and their trappings. Mm-hmm. The ravens wouldn't go to get the meat from me. He wouldn't even go there. He went to the way we went. They went to get where they get kosher food. But not anyone says that, you know, when he says it didn't make any difference. At that point, it was a dispensation just for that time that he couldn't get it anyplace else, he could he could use non-kosher food for a little while.
Right.
He brings all these poor things, but they don't all agree on what it means. So,
right.
It's one of them.
Yeah. Definitely one of them. Okay, let's continue. So pasuk hey. Vayelech vayas kidvar Hashem. Eliyahu goes ahead. He does what Hashem tells him. Vayelech vayesh barach akris asher al panei hayardin. He goes ahead, and he sits in Nachal Kris. So now the Malbim points out that there was a revealed, an overt part of his where he walked, and there was a concealed part of what he did over here. The concealed part of this action of picking up and going over to this Nachal Kris, to this brook of Kris, the hidden action over here was Hashem thereby stopping the rain from pouring. that's why it says Vayas Kidvar Hashem, that he is now carrying out Hashem's decree of stopping the rain, stopping the bracha. Right? What he was doing right now is going to the border is now bringing forth Hashem's actions. But the overt part of it is just picking up and relocating, just physically relocating. But what the hidden part of it wasn't revealed, right? So that's what Malbim points out. There's two levels over here. There's the overt part and the covert part. Pasuk Vav, V'harvi mevin loy lechem u'basar b'poiker, v'lechem u'basar b'erev, u'min anachal ishte. He had a meat sandwich every morning, a meat sandwich every night. Could have been a barbecue beef in the morning, and a buffalo chicken at night.
Fleishig all the time.
Right, fleishig all the time. Well, he didn't have any milk, so it wasn't really a big deal.
It's the English custom.
Yeah?
They eat meat in the morning. There's no custom around here now with the bacon, or right? We didn't call it there, but the most Americans, what's breakfast? They don't even eat breakfast.
Bacon right. And eggs. What's the matter with you?
Bacon and eggs.
Right away, they grab a coffee, or they grab a something, that's breakfast.
Coffee and a donut.
Yeah, you've got to sit down and start preparing. If you ever see a movie from England, that's their breakfast time. They're all fiddling around, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah?
They eat breakfast.
Then they have tea time at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, tea time. Yeah. That's later.
Yeah.
Like it or not, you got to have your tea.
Right, of course. You got to have your tea with some milk and a tea biscuit. Okay, so let's see. Vayetra Pasuk Vav. Right, so they brought him a sandwich in the morning, a sandwich at night, bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat at night. Yeah. Pasuk Zayin. So after a short while, what happened was, is
he
the Nachal...
drank up all the water.
Right, he drank up all the water.
He drank up all the water, right. There was nothing left.
And the Nachal dried up. Completely dried up. Right, so the Bible explains now that...
Maybe... you know why the water disappeared? Know who drank the water? The ravens.
The ravens drank
the
water.
They were tired, they came in here, and they had needed a drink, so right. They drank some of the water,
too. I hear, yeah. I hear. Okay, so now, the Malbim points out that there's two types of rain. There's rain that comes bashkacha, from Hashem, and there's rain that's natural, right? Like we explained before. The natural rain, again, he's speaking about a little bit more, he's elaborating a little bit more, what we spoke about before. So the natural rain, how does that occur? How does that accumulate? You have the vapor coming up from the earth, from the ocean, right? And it goes up to the sky. It forms clouds in the sky. And those clouds that are full of water naturally bring rain onto the water, onto the earth. Right now, as long as there was still water in the land, right, through the brooks, the ocean, the water streams, whatever it was, yeah, then naturally the vapor would go up because there was still water on the land. Yeah? So therefore, as long as that was happening, as long as the vapor was going up from the water sources on the land, Eliyahu had to, so to speak, wait there. He had to, so to speak, again, he's symbolically sitting on the border to, so to speak, stop the vapor from going up and forming clouds. Right? That's his job as long as there is some kind of body of water in the land.
How is he supposed to do that?
Again, it's not like he's not physically like standing over the water, like "don't go up, don't go up, don't go up." But again, it's all
blowing in the wrong, in the other.
It's all symbolic. All symbolic of him sitting on the brook.
Just him sitting there does it, because he's doing it what God told him to do.
Right, right, exactly.
So he stops nature.
Yeah, he's stopping nature.
That was his job all day long. You see, running back and forth.
Hey, you! Hey, don't go anywhere. Stay there. Right.
He had to do something to
exactly. He's directing traffic all day long. Now, after all the water dried up on Earth, then what happens? What happens then? There's no vapor going up anymore, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to sit there anymore. It doesn't need to sit there directing traffic because there's nothing to go up.
Yeah, from that spot.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm saying there's no vapor in the body and no bodies of water. There's nothing in the earth because everything dried up. So therefore, naturally, it wasn't supposed to rain either.
What?
Naturally, it was not supposed to rain anymore.
Right.
It couldn't rain naturally because there was no vapor to come up.
There's no rain.
Right. Exactly.
Dry there's season. Nothing in the clouds.
Exactly. So once all the water on Earth dried up, then he doesn't need to be on the border anymore. Right? Then, he's free to go. He doesn't have to sit there directing traffic. He doesn't have to make sure that the vapor doesn't come up, because naturally there's not going to be any rain. And therefore, now Hashem is telling him, now you can move forward, and he's going to give him his next mission. He's going to tell him where to go. We'll see what happens then. But the point is that there's two types of rain. The type of rain of Ashgacha, that's not happening because Hashem took away his Ashgacha from the Jewish people. Excuse me. And now, in the beginning, there was still supposed to be rain according to nature. According to nature, rain was supposed to come because there was still water on earth. And that would the vapor would go up and form clouds and bring the rain down. And the whole time there was water, Eliyahu was sitting there making sure that the water would not go up and not form clouds. Once the water dried up on Earth, then Eliyahu can go out and say, okay, you know, now my job is done. I don't have to make sure that there won't be any natural rain because naturally there can't be any more rain. Because it just can't happen. So now we're going to see in the next pasuk, we'll continue this next week, we'll see in the next pasuk how Hashem is telling him to go somewhere else. Okay, we'll stop here.
Well, this is only talking about Israel.
Yeah, it's only in Israel. Yeah, it's not in the whole world.
That's where it dried up. Every place else didn't dry up.
Right.
Well,
right.
It said, Hashem Eskocha. Oh, don't we learn that on Rosh Hashanah, he says how much rain is going to fall for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
If they're good, it falls. But it's not all at one time, a little here, a little where it's once, and then everything else. But if they're bad, the rain's going to come, but it's going to flood the place, and they won't have any use out of it.
Right.
So nature says that it has to come rain.
Yeah.
But when is it going to come? Is it going to come little by little, or is it going to deluge in one time, like a tsunami?
Right. Exactly.
So.
All right.
Okay.